Turn with me to the book of Jude, please. The book of Jude. I normally say to folk to find Jude, you start with the back of the book of Revelation, and go towards Matthew. And the first book you get to, that's Jude. But it's a wonderful little book, has a lot to say to us, and we trust the Lord would encourage us as we share together from this book. Let me read, I think I'll read the entire book, since it's a very short book. Beginning to read at verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels who kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. In like manner also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." For these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your love feasts. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about by winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convict all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These are they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. I'm sure the Lord would bless to us the public reading of his precious word. It is no accident that the book of Jude is found where it is. And as we have in the text itself, Jude, as he writes, mentions the last times. And of course, the last times commenced when Jesus came, if you remember. For in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, it says he appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. So that commends the last times. And this dispensation in which we are living, the dispensation of grace, all compiles the last time, which we believe is very nigh to its conclusion. I do not suppose anyone would gainsay that fact, that as we look about us and the things that are happening are saying to us, we are living now in the ending of the end times. And I believe there are those people who, even who are not Christians, who are sensing something because of what is happening. And there is a lot of fear in our world tonight. But those of us who are Christians need not fear, because we have the Word of God. We know the plan of God, and we may rest in the promises that God has made. Now, when we come then to the book of Jude, Jude had intended to write about the common salvation, as he mentions here in his book, in verse 3. His interest was to share and encourage the people of God about or with that was common to all of us. And of course, there is that is common to all of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ. I often says there is a life that's common to all of us as believers. There is a love that's common to all of us as believers. And there is a labor that's common to us as believers. We have the same spiritual life, right? We are partakers of the divine nature. Now, your reaction here, interaction, will have to keep you alert. And I know you work hard, you know, and when you sit too still, you tend to, you know, lose us a little bit. All right. We all have become partakers of the divine nature. So you and I have God's life. We have God's life. That's what the Bible says. 2 Peter chapter 1. And so that's a life that's common to us all. Now that's why I believe we don't find it too difficult to become almost readily familiar with each other, though we might not have met each other before. The moment we meet, somehow it's just like we've known each other a long time. Well, it's because of this life that is unique to all of us. The same thing is true with this love. The love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit. That's all of our hearts. So, therefore, we love different from the way the person who's not a Christian love. We love with God's love. So we could always go the extra mile. We could love people who don't love us. That's not normal, right? That's not normal, right? Now, the unsaved person don't love people who do not love them. They don't want nothing to do with me. I don't want nothing to do with them. They kill my dog. You know, don't say that here. I kill their cat. You know what I mean? But because that's how the persons who are not believers. But those who are Christians, we love those who do not love us. The Bible says, how does the Bible put it? We do good to them who despitefully. Now that's true because of a love that's common to us all. Then there is a labor that's common to us all. We are laborers together with God. That's all of us. Everything we do is in cooperation with our blessed Lord. Now this is what Jude wanted to write about. But then somehow he became overpowered by the Spirit of God and he wrote to them concerning contending for the faith. Now this was because of an evil teaching that permeated or started to permeate the then society affecting the church. And so it was necessary for him, as the Spirit of God thought, for him to direct his attention in writing concerning this evil teaching. And the evil teaching, as we have in the passage, the evil teaching, of course, first of all, they denied the Lord Christ. That's a serious thing. Now, of course, when Paul wrote to the Colossians, this was the problem in that town. And when you read John's epistle, all of those writers of the epistles wrote concerning that. You remember John saying, if anybody come to you and bring not this doctrine, let him be a curse. Paul said, if anyone preach not this gospel, let him be accursed. No, the one I wanted was when John says, if anybody come and bring not this doctrine, don't bid him in your house. That's the verse I mean. And the doctrine was the fact of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things the false teachers sought to do was to deny the Lord Jesus Christ. To deny the Lord Jesus Christ means to deny the fact that he is God. The fact that he is God manifested in the flesh. This is why when John opens his epistle, his first epistle, he says, that which we have heard, which we have looked upon, and which our hands have handled of the word of life. He was saying now that person that he wrote about before in his gospel, who was with God and who was God. That's John's gospel chapter 1. He says that same one who was made flesh, we looked upon him, a very strong word. It's a medical term. Describing the physician who, when he is performing surgery, and I guess you see it on television, they don't move their head and say, pass me that over there, or pass me that over there. They don't do that. They keep their eyes on those arteries and they reach their hand, right? My brother Roddy wouldn't know that because he was asleep. But those of us who watch, you know, those of us who watch television, that's what happens. They look upon that spot and they just reach their hand, scalpel, scissors, this, that. But they keep their eyes there. They fix their eyes upon, but because it is essential. It is very important. Well, John says, that our eyes have behold. We gazed upon him. We know that he is the Christ. No one has to tell us that. We know that. And the idea also is, when it says looked upon, that there was a etching in the mind that became erasable. It could not be removed. That's the picture. And so John then writes concerning the same false teachings that were being propagated. Now, I mentioned that the last times, the end times. But that which began way back there never ceased. That teaching never ceased. And down through the many years, that has been propagated. Even to this very day. There are people who deny that Jesus is the Son of God. Matter of fact, they come by your house sometimes.
even to this very day. And so it has not changed, because this is the emphasis of the last days. Now you remember Paul, when he met with the church at Ephesus, with the elders on his way to Jerusalem. They came by Troas there, and he says, now take heed, because there are going to be those who are going to come in the end times, and they're going to bring these false teaching. Matter of fact, some of them are going to be raised up among you. So you must be very careful. And this has been true. They deny the Lord, the Lordship of Christ. They also defile the agape feast. Now, in the New Testament, in the early days of the church, when they came together to remember the Lord, they took that same time. They didn't preach the gospel to those gatherings. They went out to preach the gospel. But there they taught the scriptures, and they fellowshiped. And so connected with the remembrance meeting was a meeting that they had before, that a time of fellowship. This one brought like a potluck, you know. And they had this time of fellowship. And, of course, Acts chapter 2 mentions that they went from house to house breaking bread and so forth. And so they had this feasting. But these people, you see, they came in with their evil teachings. They snuck in, or sneaked in, as the correct word is. They came in unawares, crept in unawares. And that gives you an idea of their intentions, right? Anybody who mean you good don't sneak in. They come in boldly. But when they sneak in, it gives an idea of their purpose and their intentions. And so Jude says, but they come and their interest is to spoil or defile your fellowship. To defile your fellowship. And so, that's the second thing. And the third thing, they denounce any moral code and place of the law in the Christian's life. And so in verse 4, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and of course denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. So these were the three things. Check it out. Check it out today. The same three things are true. Who gives the most problems in the church? In the Christian community? Those people who say they are Christians but are not. And one of the things that the apostate, true about the apostate, they reject divine revelation, they reject the truth, but they do not reject the affiliation with Christianity. Now this is why, and you will understand this, this is why you will have a minister in the pulpit who preaches and denies the Lord Jesus Christ, who denies the virgin birth of Christ, who denies the resurrection. Yet he's in the pulpit and he goes under the banner of Christianity, that he's a Christian, he's a believer. And this is why the apostate, he rejects divine truth, but he stays around as though he's a part of that fellowship. And the Bible says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. That's the apostate. Now, this is what's happening today. And it's not just happening. It went way back, started way back there, and it had continued down through the years. Peter talks about some of these persons. Paul talks about some of these persons and some of the things they said and they did. And so Jude was impressed upon by the Spirit of God to write to the saints that they would contend for the faith. And so that's really the background of this epistle. Now, let me just say, an apostate, or those persons that we refer to who reject the truth, differs from persons who might be in error. A person who is in error may be in error because of ignorance. Right? You remember Apollos, right? Apollos was in error. This is why Priscilla and Aquila took Apollos and expounded unto him those things more perfectly. Because some things he did not know. Some things he said in the pulpit that was not exactly right. Thank God for alert Christians. And so as they listen, I could hear Aquila. Gotta get them straight because some women are named Aquila and some women named Priscilla. I remember I was talking with a gentleman, a minister really, of the Pentecostal communion. And he, trying to justify, the prominence of women in the pulpit. And then he mentioned like the two sisters, Priscilla and Aquila. So I said, I don't want to make you feel that we are no more than you, but that's husband and wife. And I tried to be as gentle as possible. But Apollos was in error. So those Christians helped him. But the apostate then is different. That's a deliberate departure from the truth. A deliberate departure from the truth and makes every effort to undermine the fundamentals of the Word of God. And beloved, it's out there. It's out there in books. It's out there on the television. It's out there. And I thank God. We've had some folk who've left the assemblies and they've gone after this new thing. And I see them coming back one by one, because they're saying, you know, when you sit and you listen, you know something's wrong. Well, that's credit for the fact of teaching the Word of God. I was yesterday, a young lady, who was from our assemblies, brought up in our assemblies, and I met her at the airport, and we had quite a bit of time, Friday at the airport, I went over and sat next to her. She said, Brother Tom, I know I could talk to you. I know I could ask. And then she started to ask me. She said, as time progresses, there are those things that you get to know better. Those truths that become more, or you understand the scriptures better. And I said, you're right, you know. And then she started, right? And because she is right. Am I right? Sure, she's right. When you study the Word of God, there are times that as you study, you get to understand things better. And so, she went on to ask me, I know I could ask you and so forth. And, so she started to ask me about certain things, and I knew where she was coming from, but I wanted her to tell me. She wanted to talk about tongues and things like that. And I listened. So I said to her, it's very important. When you go to the book of Acts, chapter 2, when the disciples or the apostles spoke in tongues, right? And here she is. Yeah. When the apostles spoke in tongues, there are some things you have to understand. There are some things you have to, as you read the passage. Now remember what they said. There was a group who said, these men are what? Drunk. These men are drunk. Now, that's not just an idle expression. You must think of that. Why would they say, these men are drunk, as an explanation why they are speaking in tongues? We miss that, don't we? But why? Why would they say, well, now, wait a minute, these men are drunk? Well, because they knew that there were people who had been drunk who spoke in tongues. You follow me? That's why they could readily say, these men be drunk. And because of their drunk, they're riddling off this language. And that's important. So I said to her, therefore, there are people who may speak in tongues who are not genuinely born again or not of the Spirit. You have to understand that. And that's happening all the time. There's some things you know, some of us as preachers, we move and we learn and so forth, but sometimes they're not edifying, so we don't always say it. But there are those people who speak in tongues. So I said, now that's what he said. That's what they said. These men be drunk. Peter had to say to them, wait a minute now. We might be acting as drunk people, but we ain't drunk. Now, he didn't say those words, you know what I mean. But he said, we might be acting that way, but we ain't drunk. This is that which was spoken. And there were other things. And so, it's important. It's important. These people, their interest was to undermine. And so we find Jude then. We find Jude writing concerning the common salvation. All right, let me just get right into the text here for the next few moments that I have. Now, we have in verse 1, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Someone has said that the American internal security, when they teach their people to be able to detect counterfeit money, that they never bring a counterfeit bill to them and try to help them to note the counterfeit bill. They bring the real thing. Because if you can discern the real thing, everything else, you know, would not be real. And so they spend months and months going over the real thing. But Jude takes this approach, because now there are two groups of people here in this passage. There are the people to whom he is writing, who are representative of the saints, and there are those who are not. They are clouds, but they don't have any rain. They are stars, but they're wandering stars. They are trees, but have no fruit. And that's giving the contrast. They are not real. That's the text. That's what it's teaching. And those who are real, he's saying, now, first of all, those that are real, he's describing them. He's describing them in verse 1, the people to whom he's writing. Now, if you have an edited Bible, I have the Immortal Scofield. If you have an edited Bible, in the margin, verse 1, it says, sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. Now, that section of the verse in the margin reads like this, called, or Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. If you would permit me, I would like to use that order. The order that's in the margin rather than the order in the verse. I'll tell you why. Because the order begins with call. That's fundamental to your relationship with Christ. You see, you were called first before anything else could happen. And so you are called by God. Called in the gospel. When we think of being called, we are called out of darkness. Isn't that what Peter says? We have been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Now, when you think of darkness, a good picture of that state is illustrated in the book of Exodus. In the book of Exodus, where you have the darkness, I think it's chapter 10, I believe it is, right, where the judgment of darkness came, and it says about that, note now, it says about that, that it would be a darkness that may be felt. A darkness that may be felt, and of course, a darkness that rendered them totally helpless. They could not move. They sat one place for 3 days. I believe they couldn't see their hand out before them. There they were for 3 days. And so they saw no one. They probably could hear people talking, but they couldn't find them. It was so dark, dense dark. Now, that's the picture. That's the picture of the darkness in which you and I were found. When you come to Revelation chapter 16 and verse 10, perhaps we can very quickly turn to that. Revelation chapter 16 and verse 10, it says something about that darkness. It says something about that darkness, which of course we believe was true back in the book of Exodus, because it was a darkness that could be felt. And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. It was a darkness that brought pain, frustration, hopelessness, disillusionment. Now, all of that was true in the state in which you were found before you responded to the call. Isn't that right? That's the way it was. And so he says, Jude says, but you were called. You were called. The Bible in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 speaks of the God of this age has blinded the minds. And it speaks of a darkness. But the gospel penetrated, the call of the gospel penetrated that dense spiritual darkness in which you and I were found. And as we heard the gospel, as we responded to the gospel, we are told that we were brought out. Peter says, we were delivered from the darkness and translated into the kingdom, into the kingdom of light. So we were brought out of darkness. And so when we think of that darkness then, as I mentioned, it's a darkness which caused discomfort and pain. It was a darkness without God. A darkness without hope. A darkness without light and life. Speaks of ignorance as well. Their foolish heart became darkened. Paul says when he wrote to the Ephesians concerning the Gentile world, their foolish heart became darkened. Speaks of ignorance. Speaks of a certain lifestyle. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Also, it speaks of eternal condemnation. Now, all of that is pictured in the fact of darkness. But it says, you were called. Isn't it wonderful? You were called by that gospel. And when you responded, God called you out, took you out. There are a lot of pictures. I believe I gave the picture here before. You remember the criticism of the Pharisees of the Lord Jesus because he cast out demons. Remember that. They said, oh, you cast out demons by the power of Beelzebub. And because he's the prince of the demons. That's why you can do that. So they virtually were saying, listen, you are of the kingdom of the devil. So you can handle those people down there because they know you and you can tell them leave and so forth and so on. But then Jesus said to them, now wait a minute. What you are not understanding is this. He says, a house that is divided among itself cannot stand. If I, being Satan, cast out Satan, my kingdom is finished. And Satan ain't about to have his kingdom finished. And so he said, but you see, the situation is this. Oh, I like this, beloved. I get thrills out of this. He said, the situation is this. As long as the strong man is able to protect his goods, everything is all right. But you let somebody come with a submachine gun. And the guy there sitting down there, he come and just, in Nassau, you see, these robbies in these stores, you have fellas with dogs, guard dogs and billies, and when somebody come and wave a gun, let me tell you, they fly. One lady found herself in the freezer. And a strong guy comes and overpowers, and he plunges your goods. And so the Lord Jesus says, well, you see what happened. Satan is the strong man, but I am the stronger man. And so the stronger man overpowers the strong man and plunders his goods. So what Jesus was saying, wait a minute now, my friends, what you fail to understand, that listen, I am stronger than Satan. I overpower him and I plunder his goods. So he pulls us out. Pulls us out. The word redemption, one of the words meaning to take out, ex agorazo, to take out and remove us from that place to a degree that we will never be exposed to incarceration again. That's what Jesus did for you. We heard the gospel. We were called once. Jude is saying to the people, listen, those people, you are different. You have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. The chains of sin have been broken. Satan is no longer your master. There is no longer the fear of eternal condemnation. Why? Because you have been called. That's all we have time for today. I'm supposed to stop 5:30, right? Right? And boy, I got 30 seconds. And I better stop. But that's what he's saying. He's saying that you have been called. And beloved, having been called and responded to the gospel, you're free. If the Son therefore shall, ye shall be free indeed. Free indeed. May God bless you. And encourage you. That's what this is intending to do. To encourage you and to stir you up. Stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. That you might enjoy what you have. Huh? If you're saved, you need to enjoy it. And if you're certain you got it, you'll enjoy it. Because someone has said, if you ain't certain you got it, you won't enjoy it. If you ain't certain you got it, you won't share it. You don't share something that you ain't sure you got, right? But if you're certain, if you're certain, you'll use it and God will bless you. Father, thank you that we heard the gospel's call. How wonderful it's meant to us, having brought us out of the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of Jesus. Into a new and dynamic relationship with you. We bless you for this. And this has made life so much different and has filled us with hope for tomorrow. Why people all around us, while people all around us, Father's hearts, are failing them because of fear, we may rest in the sufficiency of our blessed Lord and look forward to that great day when he who shall come will come. And take us home. Bless your word to us. Be glorified, we pray, in our sharing time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.